National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, continuing with Rabbi Walter Jacob. It is July 29, 1996. Walter, to see if the tape works and to get our spelling right, what were the names of the two ships that you boarded in Liverpool? One had to return. What's the name of
the first one? Was called Samaria, S-A-M-A-R-I-A. They were both Cunard liners, and that, if I remember right, sank during the Second World War. And the second was called Georgic, G-E-O-R-G-I-C, and that survived the war and was used as a troop ship.
Thank you. Okay. Did they do confirmation in Germany?
I don't, in the congregation of my father, I don't remember confirmation. Probably not. Not in that congregation.
Okay.
But they did confirmation in Springfield, Missouri, and I was duly confirmed.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. Now, in view of that, you said that your father was the rabbi of the Reformed congregation as well as the Orthodox, and then combined the two. Were there any major problems?
There are always major problems when Jews get together like that. Now, the funny thing was that throughout this time, there were only two families in Springfield, Missouri, who kept kosher. One of them was the Reform rabbi. And it was not easy during the Second World War because all the meat came from St. Louis, Missouri. And you can imagine what they sent us at a distance where we couldn't complain. So it wasn't much. But the problems were really problems of adaptation of generations. When a few people from the oldest generation died out, it was possible to merge, not the services, because the Orthodox wanted their service, but at least to be in the same building. What they often did was have services simultaneously and then get together for the sermon. The Orthodox were really not Orthodox. I mean, we walked to the synagogue partly because it was the holiday. I mean, if we went on the second day of the holiday, could have ridden a bus, but largely because we liked to walk. We walked to the Reformed Synagogue, too, because we didn't have a car. So nobody observed that tightly. But what was interesting to me also was that during my second year at the Hebrew Union College, instead of taking a congregation for the high holidays, I was asked to come back to Springfield and Missouri and lead the Orthodox services and preach at them, which I did. With my poor voice, that must have been a strange sort of...
Oh, you had to chant, of course.
Had to chant,
sure.
A good bit of it, and yeah. There were lots of... And the people there, you know, the holiday service in particular, the Orthodox holiday service, has a lot of very difficult, obscure Hebrew poetry. And my guess is if I had stopped the service at some point and said, all right, who knows what I've just chanted for you, translated into English for me, they would have been mystified. So what was difficult in combining were largely melodies and emotions rather than the real observance.
How about ritual? How about ritual, vestments, talis?
My father always wore a tallit and wore the same things basically that he wore in Germany. A gown, a sort of a mitered hat, and a tallit. And that went fine. The congregation during his years there, his early years there, I guess in 48, celebrated his 50th anniversary.
As a rabbi?
No, as a congregation. So it went back to the end of the last century. And the people there were basically merchants, handful of professionals, and did well. I mean, they really financially were very well off. The interesting thing about being in a town like that is that if you have some intellectual curiosity, you will soon discover anybody else who does. And so we were good friends with all sorts of people, people who had been missionaries in China, people who were the director of the art museum, professors at various colleges, other institutions, military people who happened to be cast there for some reason. Or there was a person, a doctor at the Federal Prison Hospital, who was very well informed Jewishly, and he and his wife studied Talmud with my father and biblical criticism throughout the war. Or there was a friend of ours who became a friend of ours, originally came from Germany also, from Austria rather, an eye doctor who was a concert level pianist. And I remember all through my late, early teens, I guess, sitting in, he said he would teach a course in basic understanding of music, you might say, structures, forms, and so on. So he did that for a group of people. I sat there and, you know, learned the structure of the symphony, the sonata, all that sort of thing.
That's quite a change, because you mentioned in Germany most of your parents' friends were Jewish.
Yes, now this man was also Jewish.
I see.
But
the missionary in China wasn't Jewish.
No. And in Springfield, lots of the friends were not Jewish.
That's interesting. But did that congregation have a name? Did that synagogue have a name? Do you remember?
Yes, it was called Temple Israel, and eventually became the United Hebrew Congregation.
When the two joined?
Yes.
Okay. And about how many families?
About 100 families.
Okay.
But again, there was almost no prejudice. So right after the war, the first post-war mayor of the city was a Jew. We had, our voting strength was zero.
So you felt, as I understand, really no prejudice growing up in Springfield, or am I too broad?
No, absolutely no prejudice. And often spoke when my father, either he couldn't make it or he felt that it might be good for me to talk to some Christian groups. So I'd go and talk to a Christian group about Judaism. Or accompanied him sometimes too.
It's very refreshing to hear.
That's
good. Now I have another question, still left over from last week. What happened to your grandfather? Did he come to America?
No, my grandfather continued in London.
Yeah.
Survived the whole war in London. Thought about coming to America. My father, however, discouraged him from coming to Springfield, Missouri, because, first of all, the temperature in Springfield in the summer is hot, as in all of America. And 3 months in the high 90s is rough, without air conditioning. And more than that, he would have had absolutely no intellectual contact whatsoever, except my father. His field was Bible, biblical. He wrote a couple of excellent biblical commentaries. He knew all the ancient languages, and of course Greek and Latin, Aramaic and Syriac and Assyrian and whatnot. Who would he talk to in Springfield, Missouri? There was absolutely nobody. They corresponded through the whole war, and I have copies of most of that correspondence, because much of the correspondence was scholarly. And, you'd ask a question, by the time the letter got over and you received the answer, you forgot the question you asked. 6 weeks had gone by, so you kept a copy of it. And this is a fascinating record of not only the Blitz and the V-bombs and all that, but also of my father's first impressions of America and you know, what he thought of the way things were done, what happened.
Must be fascinating. Did they correspond in German or English or Hebrew?
Most of it is in English.
In English.
They stopped corresponding in Hebrew when they left Germany.
Yeah, you mentioned that they correspond in Hebrew.
Yeah. Now, some of it is in German, a good bit of it is in English. Most of it is, there's some about family, but not terribly much. And it's kind of strange. I mean, this grandfather of mine was not a children's grandfather. I remember that when he wrote, when I must have written him before my bar mitzvah and told him that I was taking some piano lessons and some Hebrew, I think he responded something like, "I know the value of one, I'm not so sure about the other."
Did you continue your piano lessons?
No. Well, that stopped very early. I have no musical talents.
You also mentioned last time that your grandfather visited the U.S. in 1896.
That's another grandfather.
Oh, that's another grandfather.
This is my maternal grandfather. Yes.
That's the one who came to the U.S.
My mother's father came to the U.S. to visit his brother.
Right. And he returned. And he wrote about his adventures in the U.S.
He wrote, yes, a nice piece.
Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Is that worth?
Yes.
Would you xerox that for us?
Sure.
Great. Okay, now we will continue chronologically, unless you have something else.
No, let me mention one thing, that in order to get a little more Jewish contact, because in Springfield you're really isolated Jewishly, I tried when I was 15 to start working in a more Jewish setting. And these people who were studying Talmud with my father had a connection to a camp in Maine. So I began that summer working for a heating company and as an apprentice, but quickly, fortunately, got out of that and went off to Maine and worked as a waiter in a boys' camp. I was really still a year younger than everybody else. On the application, I wrote that I was in my 16th year.
Well, that's telling the truth. And that was a Jewish camp?
An Orthodox Jewish camp. And that was my first contact, really, with a larger number of Jews and also with New York Jews.
Okay.
Both for the good and the bad. I mean, the good was that this group of kids who were waiters were remarkably bright and knew a lot. For example, the man who was in charge of dishwashing would, for his amusement and ours, whistle a piece of classical music, and we would then try to guess what it was.
That's pretty high-powered.
And he could go through all sorts of things. It was very interesting. But the downside was that some of these people, some of the campers' parents, we were just waiters, were obviously showing off, and so they came, you know, the latest big Cadillac. It was hard to get after the war. They managed to get it, and we had it was a nice time. It also gave me, and I decided to do this then for two other summers, an opportunity to see the northeastern United States. So for the first time I went to New York, Washington, saw the museums, saw the cities. When I was 15, I had an address of somebody whom my parents knew and stayed with them. But otherwise, you know, I was on my own.
So was it culture shock to see
how
Jews lived in big, in larger cities to some degree?
It was a completely different world.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it certainly was. And Maine and the whole experience of also being entirely alone and not knowing a soul, you know, starting off again, took a little while.
Be brave. So you did that for three summers until you went.
Three summers.
Part of your college time as well.
Yes, I think that first summer, or forgotten, or the second summer, hitchhiked into Canada with a friend. And I think I mentioned to you that it must have been the first summer, I was 15, got back into the United States on the strength of my Springfield, Missouri library card.
So your family were not, were they citizens yet or not?
No.
They were not.
No, they couldn't be.
So you should not have gone to Canada.
That's correct.
Okay. Because you were enemy alien, right?
Yes. But they didn't ask that in such a pointed way. They simply looked around and said, "Where are you from?" So, you know, we all told that. And I guess the guy said to me, "Are you really from Springfield?" So I pointed to him in my life. And
right.
It's good enough.
Right. We left the last tape you were in college. The majority of students were veterans. Did you choose a major in college?
Yeah, I decided on English and political science.
Okay. When you made that decision, had you already made the decision to be a rabbi?
Pretty well. It was either that or perhaps a professor. One of the two.
Okay.
And college went. It went fine, and there was. You know, I can't say it's anything unusual. I went to school at home, so it cost my parents almost nothing because they were on the faculty. So there was no tuition. I only had to pay for my books. And probably had more friends after the first year in college than the first year. Because that was kind of betwixt and between.
How about extracurricular activities in college?
Lots of, well, you know, we went to parties and so on. Actually, never was interested in the fraternity scene, and nor was I ever asked, because they did not, most of these fraternities, I believe none of them asked Jews, only four Jews in school. It was not a big issue. And the one time, that was kind of funny, I remember a couple of weeks before graduating, one of the fraternities was in trouble, and they needed to bolster their grade average. So they asked if I wanted to join.
That's wonderful. I thought you were going to tell me that they asked you to tutor them. Well, that's marvelous.
That was fun.
Did you do any sports?
I did a little. Started on a little track in high school and stopped. No, I didn't do any sports in college. Never was particularly good in athletics, to say the least. I think I got my worst grades.
That's all right.
Swimming, I liked. But that was fine. But otherwise, outdoor things, yeah, but not sports.
Dramatics? Music?
No dramatics, no music.
Because you mentioned you did puppet shows when you were...
Oh, that was just in...
In Germany.
Yeah, this was just in England a little while. No, nothing like that. Was I ever in a play? I don't think so. I avoided that.
Did you... You did 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And applied immediately to...
Hebrew Union College, Cincinnati. And then in those last years of college, let's see, 15, 16, 17, that means 18, 19, 20, I graduated, and 20, I decided to see the upper other half of the country, and I got a job with the Forest Service in northwestern Montana, and worked there for just the summers.
What did you
do? I did blister rust control, which is a tree disease, firefighting, and timber cruising.
Well, you need training for that, don't
Not
you?
Not really.
Now you probably need a master's degree in forestry.
Well, no, this is all physical.
Firefighting is...
Well, firefighting, you just... What you need is a good person to lead you and a fair amount of sample.
I saw that.
Because if you...
I have 401.
We only went to you know, we walked in to some relatively small farm, which took a surprising amount of work to put out. But, so you just used your digging tool with your whole Hodak reading, sort of a combination of axe and pick.
Now you did this the year between graduating from college
and the Hebrew
Union
College.
Let's backtrack one
minute. Well, I did that for 3 summers.
I see.
And really saw the Northwest.
I bet.
And the West, and that was very nice.
Let's go back for 1 second, back to college. Did you get any awards or honors upon graduation?
I guess I graduated with the honors and was, again, commencement speaker.
Becoming a habit. How about any truly influential professors?
Professors. Friendship with a lot of professors because they were my parents' friends. There was a Spanish professor, we were good friends, a woman by the name of Kidder, Dr. Kidder, very good Methodist. We visited her at a Methodist camp in Iowa one summer. I knew all the professors very well, but as we were, had a different relationship.
What, at that time, what was the funding or matriculation fee? What's the word I'm looking for the Hebrew Union College?
Well, let me back up a moment on the college. The only courses which I could not take were history.
Why? Because your mother taught, your father taught.
My father taught them all.
I see.
Except for American history. But that also had an advantage because the textbook publisher sent him textbooks. And so I had a pick of any textbook on any subject in the world that I wanted.
Wonderful.
And still have some of those amazing texts.
Okay, the word I was looking for was tuition.
Tuition at the Hebrew Union College at that point was, there really wasn't any tuition. If you came from a congregation that could support you, they expected the congregation or the individual, if you had the family, had the money to support. Otherwise, they would pay for it, I suppose, a sisterhood scholarship or whatnot. Upon graduation, you took out a policy on which you paid, and that would eventually pay that sum back.
How is it now?
I have no idea. I mean, there's still some of that left, and I do know that they expect much more in the way of repayment. But then they also have, most of these folks are married, they need apartments, we live in the dormitory.
Oh, that was my next question. Associated with the college?
Yes. It's a small, it was, it still is a small campus.
In Cincinnati,
with about in the rabbinic school, maybe 150 students.
At that time?
Yes.
How about now? Well, we'll get to that.
I don't know exactly the exact numbers. It may have been a little bit more than that, but something like that.
Okay, and was the dormitory also free, or did you have to pay board?
No, that was all sort of included and was added then to whatever repayment you were expected to make when you were finished. And I remember, you know, you took an exam, and then there was a psychological exam, which I don't think I took till I came to Cincinnati. And then I decided that I should also, I'm going to keep a vague eye on this, as I felt I knew something, I should be able to accelerate a little bit. So I did that. I passed off about a half a year's worth of courses to move up.
Do you have anything to tell us about how many years? 3 years, isn't it?
Hebrew Union College is usually 5 years.
5 years. Something exciting must have happened. 5 years.
Something exciting. Well, on the campus, I don't know that anything terribly exciting happened.
I should know the years, but I don't. Would you tell us the year we entered?
50 to 55.
50 to 55. Okay.
And, of course, in
having
accelerated a bit, at the end, I was really... The last year only, and I took additional courses in between, but I didn't quite cut off a year, and so the last semester that I went, I only had to take one course, and added some others, and then decided to go traveling. In the midst of that trip, I got a call from Dr. Freehoff. I'd come to Pittsburgh, and that was literally, you know, this Christians usually talk about calls. But this really was a call. It was a call where was I staying in New York? The Sloan House YMCA. It's the best I could afford.
How did he track you down?
Well, he didn't track me down.
Someone tracked.
They tracked me down from the college.
I see.
So, are you interested? Uh-huh. This is just temporary. We know you're going to the military chaplaincy. Like to apply, go down, so I did.
And
here I am, many years later.
But you mentioned the chaplaincy. Now, when did that happen?
Well, let's finish the Hebrew Union College. Cincinnati in those days, it was still a much more compact community than it is now. And they tried hard to be hospitable to the students, though there wasn't that much connection with the people in the city, except for dating the girls in the city. I worked at the library in order to make some money, $1 an hour, and learned a lot about Jewish books in that way, including these. Sponsor, which are very difficult to sell because the system is peculiar. And the years were very nice. The professors, some good, some not so good. And spent 3 summers working to explore the southern part of the United States in the southeast in a camp.
Summer camp,
a Jewish camp. Mm-hmm. The first summer, a nature counselor on the strength of my experience in the forests of the Northwest, which meant I couldn't identify a single plant.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to say it.
And the second and third summer as head of the waterfront. And that turned out to be extraordinarily easy because the second summer, the dam broke. And there wasn't waterfront.
What did you do instead?
I spent the summer looking for places the kids could swim, and we took long bus rides to get there.
Now, when did the, I don't know what they call it, when the student rabbis take weekend courses, and year does that start?
That's in the last 2 years.
I see.
And even before that, you go out to high holiday positions. So my first position was in Schulenburg, Texas, which is really in the middle of nowhere. But they had established a nice synagogue, lovely modern building, because it was central to where all these folks lived, highly scattered. So everybody drove about 40 minutes to get to the synagogue. The town had a single hotel, which was built into the movie theater. So I heard the soundtrack of the movie every night and eventually went to see it to see what the pictures looked like. I was very young, obviously. Actually, I had gone on a high holiday position the year before, the summer before I entered the Hebrew Union College. Okmulgee, Oklahoma, which is about 220 miles from Springfield, needed somebody for the holidays, and they couldn't afford a student rabbi. So they asked if I was willing to come. Sure. So that's where I had that strange experience with opening up an ark of a synagogue that hadn't been used for a long time, was showered with prayer books, and gave them little sermons. I really wonder what I said at age